And of a generation, and sold over 100 million records. But did you know that Pete Townshend was strongly influenced by a Baroque composer? And nowhere more so than in his most famous song, Pinball Wizard.
I thought to make a nod to Purcell properly. It has a very sort of Purcellian mood to it.
Townshend guides us through Purcell's influence on his writing for The Who in Baroque and Roll, Townshend on Purcell, on BBC Radio 4 next Tuesday at 1:30. Well, now BBC Radio 4, our book at bedtime, Owen Colfer's And Another Thing.
The town of Cong, Innisfree, Nano.
In the banquet hall, Thor and Zaphod were up to their armpits in a congratulatory buffet, totally oblivious to the utter annihilation bearing down from above, relatively speaking. Relatively speaking, that is, with regard to the term above. The annihilation would be utter, no matter what it was related to. Zaphod emerged from a pitcher of gargle blasters. "Thor, old man, you totally hammered that green guy. Then the mercy at the last minute, textbook. God stuff, we are back, baby. Once we have united all the colonists in faith, there's a whole universe out there. Imagine how many tiny hammers we could sell." The banquet hall door opened and Hillman Hunter stuck his head in.
"Howdy do, me ventripotent benefactors," he lilted. "I'll boost up to the eyeballs and ready for business. I have the official deity contracts here."
Zaphod nodded reassuringly at his client. "Hey, it's okay. I had a look. Standard god duties, 32 holy days, 2 more for each child conceived with a mortal." Hillman shallied forward, weaving from side to side, touching his temple every so often.
"How does a fella approach his god?" he wondered aloud. "I'm just trying out a few moves."
"Yeah, I like the head-touching bit," said Thor. "But lose the wibbly-wobbly thing."
Hillman passed the contracts over. "Hey, Hilly, what's this in pencil at the bottom of the page? Did you just write this in?" Hillman did his number one leprechaun act.
"Ah, sure be Jesus, don't be worrying about that. It's only a protection clause. It merely says that the presiding god, Thor in this case, is responsible for protecting the planet from alien attack. You know, big lasers or nukes or the like."
"Not a problem," said Zaphod magnanimously. "We're not likely to need planet protection way out here in the nebula for a couple of hundred years, are we?"
Hillman rolled an eye skywards.
"Oh, you never know," he said.
Vogon Bureau Cruiser Class Hyperspace Ship, The Business End.
Prosthetnik Jeltz had his seat winched up to cup his behind.
"What is the ship telling us, Constant?"
Constant Moan lurched towards the main instrument display panel. Moan searched the screens for something, anything that could save the Earthlings.
"I don't want to kill these people. I want to ask them about country music and maybe hug an Australian lady. They're so outdoorsy."
He glanced at the readings. The Earthlings were on Nano, no doubt about it.
"Well," huffed Jeltz, "give me the good news, Constant."
"Earthlings 200 plus.
"Finally, at last, and ultimately, inevitably," crooned the Prosthetnik.
"Plot me a torpedo solution, Gunner."
"Wait!"
Moan had blurted it out before he could stop himself.
"Wait. Did you say wait? Why would you say wait? Don't you want us to complete our mission?"
"I didn't mean wait as such."
"So you didn't say wait?"
"Yes, yes, I said wait."
"So you said wait, but that was not what you meant?"
"Yes, Prosthetnik, exactly."
"This is disturbing, Constant. I expect my crew to mean what I want them to say."
"I do mean what I say,"
said Moan miserably.
"So you meant wait?"
"No, Daddy, I didn't."
The ultimate transgression. grasping at familial bonds for clemency. Prosthetnik Jelz's torso bubbled and his ear actually tooted. "Well then, my son, if you don't mean what you say, and you will not say what you mean, I don't have much use for you on this ship. Not inside it, at any rate."
"One chance, Prosthetnik," Moan begged. "One chance is traditional."
Jelz's bottom lip jutted out like a sun seal lying on its belly. "Very well. One chance. Now use it to tell me why you ordered my gunner to hold on the unnecessarily painful slow death torpedoes." Moan stumbled to the readouts. There was nothing on the screens but heartbeats and blood pressure and calcium deficiencies and...
"Salvation. Prosthetnik, I can explain my actions."
"That's just fabby, Moan. So you ordered my gunner to hold the torpedoes because..."
"Because torpedoes won't be enough, sir."
"You are milking this, Moan."
"They won't be enough because we have an immortal on the surface. Class one."
"You're certain?"
"Absolutely. The scans are bouncing off him, sir." "We will have to retreat," thought Moan. "We have no defence against a god."
"A god?" said Jelz. "This is the chance we've been waiting for. Gunner, fire at will in the general direction of that immortal."
Moan cleared his throat.
"Sir, our torpedoes cannot harm a god."
Jelz attempted a crafty grin, dousing Moan with half a jug of spittle.
"Harm? No. Distract? Yes."
"Distract?"
"Yes, son. Distract this god, whoever he is, from the secret experimental weapon we are about to carefully load into a tube."
"Experimental weapon?"
Moan squeaked.
"Secret experimental weapon," Jelz winked.
Nano.
Ford Prefect was barging through the thrumming lunchtime crowds. Arthur recognised the look on his friend's face.
"I don't believe it. This planet's about to be destroyed. Isn't that right, Ford?"
Ford pulled his copy of The Hitchhiker's Guide from his satchel and checked the sub-ether imager. "Either it's Vogons or a very big Toblerone." Random shielded her eyes against the sun.
"I can't see anything."
"They're up there all right. The guide never lies."
"That bloody guide lies all the time. What should we do, Ford? Can we hitchhike?"
Ford laughed. "Are you kidding? The Vogons won't fall for that again. Even their shields have shields."
"So what then?"
"We need to run. Quite quickly to the spaceport. There might still be time to board the Heart of Gold."
The business end.
"Missile holographs," said Jelz. "What do you think, Gunner?" The Gunner was hardly going to argue.
"Why not, Prosthetnik?"
said the Gunner and ran the program.
Nano.
Thor clicked two fingers and Mjolnir jumped from its charger on the wall and sped into his hand.
"Who are these invaders?"
"Vogons, me lord."
Zaphod was thrilled.
"The Vogons are here already? This is gonna be epic. You will totally decimate those bastardos."
Thor belched mightily.
"I hope I can put on a bit of a show this time. Give the viewers some drama. Be a bit more like Dad. You know, godly." "Go, Thor, go!"
shouted Zaphod as Thor executed a high-speed vertical takeoff, punching a star-shaped hole through the roof panels.
"Jesus, Zaphod," said Hillman Hunter. "Could he not go out the door?"
The business end.
"Roll out the quest," ordered Jelz.
Generally, Moan loved a good acronym, but today every letter may as well be D for desperation, also death, and more than likely, damnation. They were about to kill a god.
"Go on, son. I know you're dying to know."
"I'd like to know,"
said the Gunner brightly.
"Quest stands for quite unwieldy, experimental, sublimation torpedo."
Moan did not think that having the word experimental in a weapon's name was very encouraging.
"Gunner, plot me a solution for the quest."
"It might be difficult, sir," admitted the Gunner. "I don't know what this being is made of."
Jelz shifted in his chair.
"No, no. Target the Earthlings. Let's see how much this god loves his people."
"Smart,"
thought Moan miserably.
"Very very smart.
Nano's upper atmosphere.
Thor was having the time of his life, swinging Mjolnir in wide arcs, trademark thunderclap booming in his wake, and hitting the missiles from below. He heard the fizzle of a detonation inside one, and he stuffed it into his belly, absorbing the nuclear blast. From the ground, it seemed as though he had swallowed the sun. Hillman was impressed.
Now that's a feckin' god.
The business end.
Jeltz held one finger aloft, holding the crew enthralled. Down went the digit. Kill that god, said Jeltz. The gunner span a ratchet three times, then honked down a voice tube.
Quest away. God will soon be dead, sir.
Nano.
Ford Prefect had managed to hack on to several Galactomap sub-ether sites and was watching the big blow-up from a dozen angles on his Hitchhiker's Guide screen.
Wow, what the zark is that?
Arthur shouldered in for a look.
Look at the size of that torpedo. I've seen smaller asteroids.
Thor will swallow it, though, won't he? Asked Arthur, attempting to pull together the folds of a dressing gown that he wasn't wearing.
He's a god. No problem, right?
It's not headed for Thor.
Nano's upper atmosphere.
Truth be told, Thor was showing off a little.
This is too easy, he realised. Much more of this and the viewing figures will dip.
Then his immortal tympanum detected a different engine whine. These Vogons were trying to slip something past him. Thor dropped through Nano's ionosphere like a rocket-charged stone. The new torpedo curled in below him, a massive, chunky series of rough cylinders with one small jet doing all the pushing. Thor sniffed, but he did not recognise what kind of explosive he was dealing with. It didn't matter. The impact alone would liquefy a good section of the continent. So if any mortals did survive the explosion, they would only live long enough to be engulfed by lava. Thor touched down on the torpedo's fuselage and clambered along the shaft towards the nose cone.
Should I toss the payload into space? He asked himself, leaning into the wind. Or should I nudge the entire thing off course into the ocean? What would look best on camera?
Thor sucked on the tip of his moustache as he remembered something Zaphod had said.
I wonder.
The business end.
Detonate the quest.
Yes, Prestetnik, said the gunner.
Nano.
A collective ooh rose from the crowd. This was not a conventional explosion. Blast, bang, kaboom. There was just a loud whoop and the ballooning of a perfect cuboid of green material. The material crackled, then split into 16 small cubes. Ford said what most people were thinking. Those cubes are a lot smaller than Thor. The cubes popped one by one in rapid sequence, and what debris was inside them rained to the earth as grey ash. Thor was gone.
I've got a couple of sea dragon eggs, said Ford to Arthur, rummaging in his satchel. May as well go out singing.
Something was twinkling in the sky over Zaphod's head.
Souvenir, he called. Yes!
Thor's helmet had landed square on his head.
Did you see that, Hillers? Did you bloody see that? Tell me I am not special. Don't call me Hillers, you gobshite. One, my grandmother used to call me Hillers, and you wouldn't be fit to dip a soldier in a boiled egg. And two, as for special, there was nothing very special about that god you sold me.
Zaphod was suddenly serious.
Hey, I will not hear a word against Thor. He died to save you.
Hillman jerked a thumb at the Vogon bureau cruiser hovering above the city.
He didn't do a great job of it then, did he?
And Another Thing by Owen Colfer was abridged by Penny Lester and read by Stephen Mangan and Peter Serafinovich. It was produced by Heather Lama. And you can hear the final episode of Owen Colfer's sequel to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series at 10:45 tomorrow night here on BBC Radio 4.